Virgin's Gems, number 1 to number 50, by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. These gems are a collection of many treasured sayings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon during his ministry of over 40 years, from the years 1850 to 1892. My purpose in presenting them is to encourage and help the Christian in their love and devotion to their Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Gem number 1, communion with God. Communion with God. All my fountains are in you, said David. If you have all your fountains in God, your heart will be completely full. If you went to the foot of Calvary, there your heart will be bathed in love and gratitude. If you go often to your place of seclusion and there talk with your God, it is there that your heart will be filled with calm determination. If you go out with the Master to the Mount of Olives and look down with him on a wicked Jerusalem and weep over it with him, then your heart will be full of love for eternal souls. If you continually draw your stimulus, your life, your entire being from the Holy Spirit, without whom you can do nothing, and if you live in close communion with Christ, then there will be no fear of you having a cold heart. One who lives without prayer, one who lives with little prayer, one who seldom reads the Word, one who seldom looks up to heaven for a fresh influence from on high, will be the person whose heart will become cold and barren. But the person who calls in secret to their God, who spends much time in holy seclusion, who delights to meditate on the words of the Most High, whose soul is given up to Christ, who delights in his fullness, rejoices in his complete sufficiency, prays for his second coming, and delights in the thought of his glorious return, such a person, I say, must have an overflowing heart. And as their heart is, so will be their life. It will be a full life. It will be a life that will speak from the grave and reverberate into the future. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life, and plead with the Holy Spirit to keep it full. Otherwise, the outcome of your life will be feeble, shallow, and superficial, and you might as well not have lived at all. Gem number 2, loving your neighbor, loving your neighbor. I am certain you need no exhortation to love yourself. You will take good care of your body. Your comfort will be your primary concern. You would line your own nest with downy feathers if you could. You will do these things for yourself. Well then, as much as you love yourself, love your neighbor. Gem number 3. Power in the heart. Power in the heart. A person's power in the world, other things being equal, is simply the ratio of the power and the strength of their heart. A heart full of power and strength always makes a powerful person. If they are wrong, then they are powerful for deception. If error is in their heart, then they are sure to make it notorious, even though it may be a downright lie. May a person never be so ignorant as to be powerful for error. However, if their heart is full of love for a good cause, they become a powerful person for that issue, because they have heart power, heart force. A person may be lacking a good education and training in the proper manners of our society, but give them a strong heart, a good strong heart that beats hard, and there is no mistake about their power. Let them have a heart that is filled to the brim with a purpose, and that person will accomplish their goal, or else they will die gloriously defeated and will glory in their defeat. Heart is power. Heart is power. Gem number 4, shadows of mercy. Shadows of mercy. When the sunlight of God's mercy rises upon our needs, it casts the shadow of prayer far down upon the plain. Or to use another illustration, when God piles up a hill of mercies, He Himself shines behind them, and He casts on our spirits the shadow of prayer, so that we may have confidence, if we are in prayer, that our prayers are the shadows of mercy. Gem number 5, omnipotence. Omnipotence. Omnipotence may build 1,000 planets and fill them with treasures. Omnipotence may crush mountains into dust and cause the seas to evaporate and destroy the stars. But omnipotence cannot do one unloving thing towards a believer. Oh, rest assured, dear Christian, a harsh act, an unloving action from God towards one of His own people is quite impossible. He is just as kind to you when He throws you into prison as when He takes you into a palace. He is as good to you when He sends famine into your house as when He fills your cupboards with plenty. The only question is, are you His child? If so, He has rebuked you in affection, and there is love in His discipline. Gem number 6, wings of prayer. Wings of prayer. Prayer is the rustling of the wings of the angels that are on their way bringing us the blessings of heaven. Have you heard prayer in your heart? You will see the angel in your house. When the chariots that bring us blessings rumble, their wheels sound with prayer. We hear the prayer in our own spirits, and that prayer becomes the sign of the coming blessings. Even as the clouds appear before the rain, so prayer precedes the blessing. Even as the first green blade of a plant is the beginning of the harvest, so is prayer the prediction of the blessing that is about to come. Gem number 7, reservoir of the heart. Reservoir of the heart. You have seen the great reservoirs provided by our water companies, in which the water is kept which supplies thousands of homes. Now the heart is the reservoir of a person, and our life is allowed to flow in its proper season. That life may flow through different pipes, the mouth, the hand, the eye, but still all the actions of the hands, the eyes, and the lips derive their source from the great fountain and central reservoir, the heart. And therefore, there is no problem showing the great need that exists for keeping this reservoir, the heart, in a proper state and condition, since otherwise, that which flows through the pipes would be polluted and corrupt. Gem number 8, God's purpose for us. God's purpose for us. There is not a spider hanging on the wall that doesn't have a purpose. There is not a weed growing in the corner of the church lot that doesn't have a reason for being there. There is not a single insect fluttering in the breeze that does not accomplish some divine decree. And I will never believe that God created any man or woman, especially any Christian man or woman, to be a blank and to be a nothing. God made you for a purpose. Find out what that purpose is. Find out your niche, and fill it, even if it is something small. If it is only to be someone who picks up trash at the side of the road, or one who mows the church lawn, do something in this great battle for God and truth. Gem number 9. Undivided purpose of the heart. Undivided purpose of heart. Suppose you see a lake, and there are 20 or 30 streams running from it. Why, there won't be one strong river in the whole area. There will be a number of little brooks which will all be dried up in the summer, and there will be temporary torrents in the rainstorm. Every one of them will be useless for any great purpose, because there is not enough water in the lake to feed more than one great stream. Now, a person's heart has only enough life in it to fully pursue one object. You must not give half of your love to Christ and the other half to the world. No person can serve God and money, because there is not enough in the heart to serve the two. Gem number 10, pride. Pride. How easy it is for you and I to boast in ourselves. How hard it is to be humble. That demon of pride was born with us, and it will not die one hour before us. It is so woven into our very natures that we will never hear the last of it until we are dressed in our grave clothes and lying in our coffin. Gem number 11, trusting works. Trusting works. Any person who trusts in their works, even in the smallest amount, is a lost soul. They who trust in the smallest fragment of their works, though it is so small that they themselves cannot discern it, will be lost. Gem number 12, full surrender. Full surrender. Don't keep back any part of your life. Make a full surrender of every inclination of your heart. Work to have but one purpose and one aim. And for this purpose, give God complete control of your heart. Cry out for more the divine control of the Holy Spirit, so that your soul is preserved and protected by Him, that it may be directed into one river and only one, that your life may run deep and pure and clear and peaceful, its only banks being God's will, its only river the love of Christ and a desire to please Him. Gem number 13, pride in the saint. Pride in the saint. There was never a saint yet that grew proud of their fine feathers that the Lord didn't pluck them out one by one. There never was an angel yet that had pride in his heart, that didn't lose his wings and fall into hell, as Satan and those fallen angels did. And there will never be a saint who indulges in self-conceit, pride, and self-confidence that won't have the Lord spoil their glories and trample their honors in the mud and make them cry out, "Lord, have mercy on me." Gem number 14, brains versus pride. Brains versus pride. People who have no brains are always great persons. But those who think must think their pride away if God is with them in their thinking. Gem number 15, the Word of God. The Word of God. Never, never neglect the Word of God. The Word will make your heart rich with truth, rich with understanding. And then your conversation, when it flows from your mouth, will be like your heart, rich, soothing, and sweet. Make your heart full of rich, generous love, and then the stream that flows from your hand will be just as rich and generous as your heart. Above all, get Jesus to live in your heart, and then out of your heart will flow rivers of living water, more rich, more satisfying than the water of the well of Sychar, of which Jacob drank. Oh, go, Christian, go to the great mine of riches, and cry to the Holy Spirit to make your heart rich unto salvation. Then your life and conversations will be a benefit to your fellow man. And when they see you, your face will be like an angel of God. Wise men will stand up when they see you, and men will give you respect and honor. Gem number 16, man's weakness. Man's weakness. God has said it. Men and women must serve him. They must serve him in his own way. And they must serve him in his own strength too, or he will never accept their service. That which men and women do, unaided by divine strength, can never be accepted by God. There must be an awareness of weakness before there can be any victory. Gem number 17, death. Death. Life is nothing but death's hallway, and our pilgrimage on earth is but a journey to the grave. The pulse that preserves our life beats our death march, and the blood which circulates our life is floating it forward to the depths of death. Today we see our friends in health. Tomorrow we hear of their death. Only yesterday we shook hands with a strong man. And today we close his eyes. We rode in a coach of comfort only an hour ago. And in a few more hours the black hearse must come and carry us to the home of the living. Oh, how closely allied is death to life. The little lamb that plays in the field must soon feel the knife. The cow that lows in the pasture is fattening itself up for the slaughter. Trees only grow to be cut down. Yes, and greater things than these feel death. Empires rise and flourish. They flourish only to fall into decay. They rise to fall. How often do we take up a history book and read of the rise and fall of empires? We hear of the coronation and the death of kings. Death is the somber servant who rides behind the chariot of life. See life, and death is close behind it. Death reaches far throughout this world and has stamped all earthly creatures with an arrow pointing to the grave. Stars die. It is said that large and destructive fires have been seen in outer space, and astronomers have marked the funerals of planets. The decay of those mighty spheres that we had imagined set forever in sockets of silver to glisten as the lamps of eternity. But blessed be God. There is one place where death is not life's brother, where life reigns alone. To live is not the first syllable which is to be followed by the next, to die. There is a land where the death bells are never rung, where grave clothes are never put on, where graves are never dug. Blessed land beyond the skies, to reach it, we must die. Gem number 18, the nothingness of man. The nothingness of man. Oh, my God, when I survey the infinite region of space and see those magnificent spheres rolling through it all, when I consider how vast is your universe, so wide that an angel's wing might flap throughout all of eternity and never reach a boundary. Oh, I marvel that you should look on insects so obscure as man. I have looked into my microscope and seen the short-lived tiny insect on a leaf, and I have called him minute. I will not call him tiny again. Compared with me, he is great. If I put myself in comparison with God, I am so little that I shrink into nothingness when I behold the almightiness of Jehovah. So little that the difference between the microscopic animal and man dwindles into nothing when compared with the infinite chasm between God and man. Gem number 19. The death of the righteous. The death of the righteous. What a great sorrow that the good should die, that the righteous should fall. Death, why don't you cut down the poisonous tree? Why don't you mow down the poisonous plant? Why do you touch the tree that has provided shade for the weary people? Why do you touch the flower whose perfume has made the earth joyous? Oh, death, why do you snatch away the excellent of the earth, in whom is all of our delight? If you would use your axe, use it on the trees that draw nourishment but produce no fruit, then we would thank you. But why will you cut down the cedars? Why will you fell the godly trees of Lebanon? Oh, death, why don't you spare the church? Why must the pulpit be hung in black? Why must the missionary outpost be filled with weeping? Why must the godly family lose its spiritual leader and the house its head? Oh, death, where are you? Don't touch the earth's holy things. Your hands are not fit to pollute the Israel of God. Why do you put your hand on the hearts of the elect? Oh, stop! Stop! Spare the righteous! Spare the righteous death and take the bad. But no, it must not be. Death comes and smiles at the godliest of us all, the most generous, the most prayerful, the most holy, the most devoted must die. Weep, 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 O church, for you have lost your martyrs. Weep, O church, for you have lost your preachers. Your holy men are fallen. Weep, fir tree, for the cedar has fallen. The godly fail, and the righteous are cut off. But stay a while. I hear another voice. Say to the daughter of Judah, spare your weeping. Say to the Lord's flock, cease, cease your sorrow. Your martyrs are dead, but they are glorified. Your ministers are gone, but they have ascended up to your Father and to their Father. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are buried in the grave, but the archangel's trumpet will awaken them, and their spirits are even now with God. Gem number 20. Satan, the defeated enemy. Satan, the defeated enemy. Death was the devil's chief defense. Christ boldly opposed the lion in his den and fought him in his own territory. And when he took death from him and dismantled that once impregnable fortress, he took away from him not only that, but every other advantage that he had over the saint. And now Satan is a conquered foe, not only in the hour of death, but in every other hour and in every other place. He is an enemy, both cruel and mighty, but he is a foe who shudders and shrinks back when a Christian gets into battle with him. For he knows that though the fight may waver for a little while in his favor, the victory must fall on the side of the saint, because Christ, by his death, destroyed the devil's power. Gem number 21. One must fear to believe. One must fear to believe. See that man drowning over here? I also see another in the water too. The one in the distance thinks he can swim. A life preserver is thrown to him. He believes that he is in no danger of drowning. Well, he clutches the life preserver very leisurely and does not seem to grab it firmly. But this other poor creature over here, he knows he cannot swim. He feels that he will soon drown. Now put the means of escape near him and note how desperately he clutches to it, how he seems as if he would drive his fingers through the life preserver. He clutches it for life or death. It is everything to him, for he must perish if he is not saved by that preserver. Now in this case, he that fears the most believes the most, and I believe it is sometimes the same with poor, hopeless, and lost spirits. Gem number 22. To die is to gain. To die is to gain. Here we see through a glass that is dark and cloudy, but there we will see face to face. There what eye has not seen nor ear heard will be fully revealed to us. There, paradoxes will be unraveled, mysteries made clear, obscure text enlightened, confusing and questionable verses will be revealed as being amazingly simple and true. The least of all souls in heaven knows more of God than the greatest saint on the earth. The greatest saint on the earth may have it said of him, "Nevertheless, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Not even our greatest preachers understand as much of theology as the lambs in the flock of glory. Not even the greatest masterminds of the earth understand 1,000,000th part of the mighty meanings which have been discovered by souls liberated from these bodies made of clay. Yes, to die is to gain. Take away that hearse. Remove the covering of black. Adorn it with white and bright shiny decorations. There, take away that music of the death march. Rather, lend me the trumpet and the drum. Oh, hallelujah! 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 Why do we cry as the saints go to heaven? They are not dead. They have simply gone to heaven before us. Stop. Stop that crying. Hold back your tears. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. They are supremely blessed. They are done with care and sin and woe, and with their Savior they rest. What? Weep? Weep? Weep for heads that are crowned with crowns of glory? Weep? Weep for hands that hold the harps of gold? What? Weep for eyes that see the Redeemer? What? Weep for hearts that are washed from sin and are throbbing with eternal bliss? What? Weep for men and women that are in the Savior's arms? No, weep for yourselves that you are still here. Weep that the mandate has not come which commands you to die. Weep that you must remain, but not for them. I see them turning back on you with loving wonder, and they say, "Why do you weep?" What? Weep for poverty that is clothed in riches? What? Weep for sickness that has inherited eternal health? What? Weep for shame that is glorified? And weep for sinful mortality that has become immaculate? Oh, do not weep, but rejoice. If you knew what it was that I have said to you and where I have gone, you would rejoice with a joy that no one could ever take from you. Gem number 23, Satan's attempt to kill the Christ. Satan's attempt to kill the Christ. When the Lord Jesus came down to earth, Satan knew his mission. He knew that the Lord Jesus was the Son of God. And when he saw him as an infant in the manger, he thought, if he could kill him and get him in the bonds of death, what a fine thing it would be. So he stirred up the spirit of Herod to kill him. But Herod missed his mark. And many times Satan attempted to put the personal existence of Christ in danger, so that he might get Christ to die. Poor fool that he was, he did not know that when Christ died, he would bruise the devil's head. Once, you will remember, when Christ was in the synagogue, the devil stirred up the people and made them angry. And he thought, oh, what a glorious thing it would be if I could kill this man. Then there would be an end of him, and I would reign supreme forever. So he got the people to take Jesus to the edge of the cliff, and he gloated over the thought that surely now he would be thrown down head first. But Christ escaped. Then he tried to starve him. He tried to drown him. He was in the desert without food, and he was on the sea in a storm. But there was no starving or drowning him. And Satan no doubt panted for his blood and longed that he would die. At last the day arrived. It was transmitted to the court of hell that at last Christ would die. They rung their bells with hellish elation and joy. He will die now, he said. Judas has taken the 30 pieces of silver. Let those scribes and Pharisees get him. They will no more let him go than the spider would let go of a poor, unfortunate fly. He is as good as dead. And the devil laughed with excitement when he saw the Savior standing before Pilate's judgment seat. And when it was said, let him be crucified, then Satan's joy knew no limits except the limits set by his own misery. As far as he could, he rejoiced in what to him was a delightful thought, that the Lord of glory was about to die. In death, as Christ was being observed by angels, he was also seen by the demons too. In that dreary march from Pilate's palace to Calvary was one which the demons watched with extraordinary interest. And when they saw him on the cross, there stood the exulting fiend, Satan, smiling to himself, ah, I have the King of glory now in my control. I have the power of death, and I have the power over the Lord Jesus. He exerted that power until the Lord Jesus had to cry out in bitter anguish, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? But ah, how short-lived was that hellish victory. How brief was the satanic triumph. He died, and it is finished, shook the gates of hell. Down from the cross the conqueror leaped, pursued the fiend with thunderbolts of wrath. Swift to the darkness of hell the fiend flew, and swift descending went the conqueror after him. And we may conceive him exclaiming, traitor, this thunderbolt will find and pierce you through. Even though under hell's deepest, darkest wave you seek to go, to find a sheltering grave. And he seized him, chained him to his chariot wheel, dragged him up the steeps of glory, angels shouting all the while. He ascended on high. He led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Now, devil, you said that you would overcome me when I came to die. Satan, I defy you and laugh you to scorn. My master overcame you, and I will overcome you yet. You say you will overcome the saint, do you? You could not overcome the saint's master. and you will not overcome him. You once thought you had conquered Jesus, you were bitterly deceived. Ah, Satan, you may think you will overcome the little faith and the faint heart, but you are wondrously mistaken. For we will assuredly tread Satan under our feet shortly. And even in our last moment on earth with fearful odds against us, we will be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Gem number 24, the River of God, the River of God. The River of God is full of water, but there is not one drop of it that comes from earthly springs. God will have no strength used in his own battles, but the strength which he himself imparts. And I would not have you that are now distressed to be the least discouraged by it. Your emptiness is but the preparation for your being filled, and your casting down is but the making ready for your being lifted up. Gem number 25, kindness, kindness. Deal gently, deal kindly, deal lovingly, and there is not a wolf in human shape that won't be melted by kindness. And there is not a tiger in a woman's form that won't break down and beg for forgiveness if God should bless the love that is brought to bear on her by her friend. Gem number 26, the devil in sheep's clothing, the devil in sheep's clothing. If the devil comes to my door with his horns visible, I will never let him in. But if he comes with his hat on as a respectable gentleman, I would admit him at once. The metaphor may be very strange, but it is quite true. Many men and women have taken in an evil thing because it has been varnished and glossed over and did not appear evil. And they had thought in their hearts, there is not much harm in it. So they have let in the little thing, and it has been like the bursting forth of water. The first drop has brought after it a torrent. The beginning has been but the beginning of a fearful end. Gem number 27, few are blessed. Few are blessed. If we could see things as they are, if we were not deceived by the masquerade of this feeble life, if we were not so easily taken in by the mask and dresses of those who act in this great drama, be it comedy or tragedy, if we could but just see what men and women are behind the scenes, penetrate their hearts, watch their inner motions, and discern their secret feelings, we would find only a few, just a few, who could bear the name of blessed. Gem number 28, destroy sin, destroy sin. Do not harm the bodies of men and women, but destroy their will with a stout heart and with a strong arm. Kill both the little sins and the great ones. Let nothing be spared that is against God and against his truth. But we will have no war with the bodies of poor, mistaken men and women. Gem number 29, prayer before blessings, prayer before blessings. If we received the blessings without asking for them, we would think them mere common things. But prayer makes the common pebbles of God's worldly provisions more precious than diamonds. And our spiritual prayer cuts the diamond and makes it glisten more. After a long chase, the hunter prizes the animal because he has set his heart on it and is determined to have it. Likewise, prayer does sweeten the mercy. Prayer teaches us its preciousness. It is the reading over of the bill of sale, the account, the property list, before the estate and the properties are actually transferred. We know the value of the purchase by reading over the will of it in prayer. And when we have groaned out our own expression of its matchless price, then it is that God bestows the blessing on us. Prayer goes before the blessing because it shows us the value of it. Gem number 30, little faith, little faith. We hear sometimes a great deal said about possessing a full assurance of being a child of God. And then, every now and then, we hear of a doubt, a hope. As good Joseph Irons used to say, they keep hope, hope, hoping, hop, hop, hopping all their lives because they can't walk. Little faith is always lame. Gem number 31, the great worker of salvation, the great worker of salvation. The great King, immortal, invisible, the divine person called the Holy Spirit, it is He that stimulates the soul, or else it would lie dead forever. It is He that makes it tender, or else it would never feel. It is He that imparts power to the word preached, or else it could never reach further than the ear. It is He who breaks the heart. It is He who makes it whole. He, from first to last, is the great worker of salvation in us, just as Jesus Christ was the author of salvation for us. Gem number 32, God's salvation for sinners. God's salvation for sinners. As sure as God is God, if today you are seeking Him correctly, through Christ, the day will come when the kiss of full assurance will be on your lip, when the arms of sovereign love will embrace you and you will know it to be true. You may have despised Him, but you will know Him yet to be your Father and your friend. You may have mocked His name, yet you will one day come to rejoice in it as better than pure gold. You may have refused to worship Him and despised His word, but the day is coming when worship to Him will be your delight and His word your treasure. Yes, do not wonder. You may have plunged into the wretched house of sin and made your clothes black with sin, but you will one day stand before His throne, dressed in white as the angels are, and that tongue that once cursed Him will yet sing His praise. If you are a real seeker, the hands that have been stained with lust will one day grab the harp of gold, and the head that has plotted against the Most High will yet be crowned with gold. Doesn't it seem a strange thing that God should do so much for sinners? But strange though it seem, it will be strangely true. Gem number 33. The God who hears, the God who hears. Our God is not a God who sits in one perpetual dream, nor does He clothe Himself in such thick darkness that He cannot see. He is not like Baal who does not hear. True, He may not be concerned about battles. He does not care for the pomp and pageantry of kings. He does not listen to the sound of military music. He does not regard the triumph and the pride of man, but whenever there is a heart full of sorrow, wherever there is an eye filled with tears, wherever there is a lip quivering with agony, wherever there is a deep groan or a sorrowful sigh, the ear of Jehovah is wide open. He marks it down in the registry of His memory. He puts our prayers like rose leaves between the pages of His book of remembrance. And when the volume is finally opened, there will be a precious fragrance springing up from there. Gem number 34, a new world coming, a new world coming. God's good pleasure is that this world will one day be totally redeemed from sin. God's good pleasure is that that this poor planet, so long covered in darkness, will soon shine out in brightness like a newborn sun. Christ's death has done it. The stream that flowed from his side on Calvary will cleanse the world from all of its wickedness. That hour of midday darkness was the rising of a new sun of righteousness, which will never cease to shine upon the earth. Yes, the hour is coming when guns and cannons will be forgotten things, when the harness of war and the pageantry of pomp will all be laid aside as food, food for the worm or the contemplation of the curious. The hour approaches when old Rome will shake on her seven hills, when Mohammed's crescent will no longer increase on the earth, when all the gods of the heathens will lose their thrones and be cast to the moles and to the bats. And then, from the equator to the poles, Christ will be honored, the Lord paramount on earth, when from land to land, from the river even to the ends of the earth, one king will reign, one shout will be heard, hallelujah, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Gem number 35, Christ our food, Christ our food. Without bread, I become thin like a skeleton, and in time I will die. Without thought, my mind becomes dwarfed. Yes, and it decays until I become an idiot, with a soul that just has life, but little more. And without Christ, my spirit must become a vague, shadowy emptiness. It cannot live unless it feeds on that heavenly manna which came down from heaven. Now the Christian can say, the life that I live is Christ, because Christ is the food on which he feeds and the sustenance of his newborn spirit. Gem number 36, the joy of a newborn, the joy of a newborn. Sinner, let this be your comfort, that God sees you when you begin to repent. He does not see you with his usual gaze, with which he looks on all men and women, but he sees you with an eye of intense interest. He has been watching you in all of your sin and in all of your sorrow, waiting for you to repent. And now he sees the first gleam of grace, and he beholds it with joy. Never a soldier on the lonely castle top saw the first gray light of the morning with more joy than with which God beholds the first desire in your heart. Never did a physician rejoice more when he saw the first heaving of the lungs in one that was supposed to be dead than God rejoices over you now that he sees the first symptom of good. Gem number 37. Christian, do not worry. Christian, do not worry. I have seen the Christian man in the depths of poverty, when he lived from hand to mouth, and scarcely knew where he would find his next meal, still with his mind unruffled, calm and quiet. If he had been as rich as a prince, he could not have had less care. If he had been told that his bread would always be delivered to his door, and the stream which ran fast by should never run dry, if he had been quite sure that ravens would bring him bread and meat in the morning and again in the evening, he would not have been one bit more calm. Gem number 38, our friends in heaven, our friends in heaven. Oh, I believe that on the day we die, we will see the bright spirits that are now before the throne. We will grip the hand of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to look into the face of Paul the Apostle and shake the hand of Peter. We will sit in flowery fields with Moses and David to bask in the sunlight of bliss with John and Magdalene. Oh, how blessed! The company of poor, imperfect saints on earth is good, But how much better the society of the redeemed. Death is no loss to us by way of friends. We leave a few, a little group below, and say to them, "Do not fear, little flock." And we ascend and meet the armies of the living God, the host of his redeemed. To die is gain. Gem number 39, prayer, prayer. If anyone would ask me for a summation of the Christian religion, I would say, it is in that one word, prayer. If I would be asked, what will take in the whole of the Christian experience, I would answer, prayer. A man must have been convinced of sin before he could pray. He must have had some hope that there was mercy for him before he could pray. In fact, all the Christian virtues are locked up in that word, prayer. If you tell me that you are a person of prayer, then I will reply at once, "Sir, I have no doubt of the reality and the sincerity of your religion." Gem number 40, the chosen ones. The chosen ones. In the very beginning, when this great universe was in the mind of God, like unborn forest in a cup of acorns, long before the echoes walked in the quiet solitudes, before the mountains were brought forth, and long before the light flashed through the sky, God loved his chosen men and women. Before there were men and women, when the heavens were not yet fanned by angels' wings, when space itself did not exist, when there was nothing but God alone, even then, in that loneliness of deity and in that deep quiet and depth, his heart moved for his chosen ones, his elect ones. Their names were written on his heart, and they became dear to his soul. Gem number 41, the elect of the elect, the elect of the elect. There are elect out of the elect, I will acknowledge, as to gifts and standing, and as to the works that they may accomplish in this world. But there is no election out of the elect on the basis of a deeper extent of the love of God. They are all loved the same. They are all written in the same book of eternal love and life. Gem number 42, the rich church. The rich church. When I hear of a church where everyone is wealthy and members of the upper class of our society, then I always say farewell to them, for where there are no poor people, the ship will soon sink. If there are no poor in the church, then Christ will soon give them some, if they are a real gospel church. Gem number 43, our tears. Our tears. Oh, it is a glorious fact that prayers are noticed in heaven. The poor, broken-hearted sinner, going into their bedroom, bends their knee, but can only utter their mournful cry in the language of sighs and tears. Look, that groan has made all the harps of heaven thrill with music. That tear has been caught by God and put into a vase made especially for tears, to be perpetually preserved. The tearful, praying Christian, whose distress prevents his words, will be clearly understood by the Most High. Gem number 44. Slow-moving Christians, slow-moving Christians. Oh, you crippled ones, don't fear. You will not be thrown out. Two snails entered the ark. How they got there, I don't know. It must have taken them a long time. They must have started rather early, unless Noah took them part of the way. So some of you are snails. You are on the right road. But it will take a long while, unless some blessed Noah helps you into the ark. Gem number 45, God knows his children. God knows his children. Jesus still recognizes his family, even when their sins make them as black as the tents of Kedar. And he knows they will be as bright as the curtains of Solomon. He knows his children when they do not know themselves, when they believe they are lost beyond recovery, or when they foolishly conceive that they can save themselves. Gem number 46, living in the light of God, living in the light of God. Give me the support of God, and I can easily bear the insults of men. Let me lay my head on the chest of Jesus, and I will not fear the interruptions of anxieties and trouble. If my God will forever give me the light of his smile and a glimpse of his blessing, it will be enough. Come on, enemies, persecutors, demons, yes, the devil himself. For the Lord God is my sun and shield. Gather you clouds and surround me. I carry the bright sun within me. Blow, wind of the frozen north. I have a fire of a living coal living within me. Yes, death, kill me. But I have another life, a life in the light of God's countenance. Gem number 47, backsliders, backsliders. Backsliders, fallen ones, God will have mercy on you if you will repent. Glorious fact, the sorrowing backslider will not be left behind. Backsliders will sing above as God's restored children he has forever loved. Blind and crippled ones, believe in the Lord, and you will be found among the children of the Lamb at the end. Gem number 48, God's throne, God's throne. You may erect little thrones for those whom you love, but God's throne must be the glorious high throne. You may set your loved ones on the steps leading up to his throne, but God must sit on the very seat itself. He is to be enthroned, the royal one within our hearts, the king of all your affections. Gem number 49, do not love the world. Do not love the world. Hate the world. Value its treasure at a cheap price. Estimate its gems as nothing but fakes, and its strength as nothing but dreams. Do not think that you will lose any pleasure, but rather remember the saying of that early church leader, Chrysostom, despise riches and you will be rich. Despise glory and you will be glorious. Despise injuries, and you will be a conqueror. Despise rest, and you will gain rest. Despise the earth, and you will gain heaven. Gem number 50, true beauty, true beauty. I gaze on beauty, and may myself be deformed. I admire the light, and yet may dwell in darkness. But if the light of the face of God rest on me, I will become like him. The characteristics of his appearance will be on me, and the great outline of his attributes will be mine. O wondrous mirror, which renders the beholder lovely. O admirable mirror, which does not reflect self with its imperfections, but gives a perfect image to those that are unattractive. Amen.